This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Before the days of rock videos, rock and roll movies offered rare glimpses of the bands teenagers loved. There's a new guide to old and new rock and roll films called Hollywood Rock. The editor is singer-songwriter and guitarist Marshall Crenshaw. He's a longtime favorite of many critics, including our rock critic Ken Tucker. Ken described Crenshaw's album Life's Too Short as the most blissfully pure pop rock album in ages. Hollywood Rock features capsule reviews of classic films like the 1956 Rock, 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 and rock schlock like the 1957 Bop Girl Goes Calypso. We invited Marshall Crenshaw to bring his guitar and sing some of the good and bad songs that came out of rock and roll movies. Marshall Crenshaw, welcome to Fresh Air. Why don't we start with Elvis films? There have been some really great and some really cheesy.
Yeah, what were some great
Elvis
ones?
Films.
Sorry.
Well, Jailhouse Rock, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Flaming Star I like a lot, even
Flaming
though he doesn't
Star really
is cool.
Yeah,
it.
That's
yeah.
right. Uh-huh.
And Flaming Star, he has real charisma in. You could tell that he had real potential as just as an actor, just as a physical presence.
I thought
on
he was
screen.
Really I thought it was a really good movie. It was made by a really good director for starters, a guy named Don Siegel.
So what do you think are the best and the worst of the Elvis films?
I don't know. Some of the worst ones are the ones I enjoy the most, I guess. Like, I really love Change of Habit, which is just an inexplicable, really bad movie.
It's Elvis and the Nuns.
It's the one, yeah. It's the one where he plays a doctor at a free clinic in the ghetto, and Barbara McNair and Mary Tyler Moore are nuns. Now, who's the third nun? Boy, there's a trivia question.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyway, well, I haven't seen them all. I guess I really like Loving You and Jailhouse Rock. You know, of course, the pre-Army ones are my favorites. Jailhouse Rock is a movie that you can get fashion tips from, I think. It's like, this is how to dress, you know? Dress like this. You know, the clothes in the movie are really cool.
So, Marshall Crenshaw, you've brought your guitar.
Yeah.
Would you do your version of one of the best or worst, or best and worst, songs from Elvis films?
Okay, sure. This is a little snatch of a song written by someone I used to know, a man by the name of Doc Pomus. Really great, great guy. Viva Las Vegas. It goes like this. Ooh. Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up or higher. Well, there's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas, viva, viva Las Vegas. I went for the big note, and what happened?
Boy, you know, that's one of the real, like, you know, kind of...
Viva! Sorry.
Viva Las Vegas is one of the real, like, non-rock and roll type of songs, real commercial, but it really is catchy, isn't it?
I like it a lot. You know, the Dead Kennedys did a really funny version of it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, really kind of, I guess sort of, like, you know... really found some potential in the song that nobody else really found.
Now, one of the movies that you write the capsule of in Hollywood Rock is Bye Bye Birdie, which you like a lot, which I was, of course, really surprised to read. Because
mm-hmm.
that's a kind of like ersatz rock and roll movie. It's
yeah.
you know, it's a kind of like the ersatz Elvis who's going off to the army.
Yeah, it's true. And it's also obviously written by people who hate rock and roll.
Right, by Broadway composers who really don't know much about rock and roll.
Yeah. But I really like the movie. I think part of the reason has to do with the fact that I saw it when I was a child. You know, I was like 9, 10 years old.
The character that's based on Elvis and Bye Bye Birdie is named Conrad Birdie.
Yeah.
And his big, you know, Elvis kind of number is called Sincere. Do you ever perform that?
Honestly Sincere, yeah. This is another thing. I used to play this at CBGB's back in the 80s, and people flipped, you know. I think people, you know, because it's like I was like making a TV reference because the movie's on TV all the time.
Uh-huh.
So people like TV references, I guess.
Can you do a little bit of it for us?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. You gotta be sincere. And then the girls scream.
Ah!
You gotta be sincere. You gotta feel it here. Cause if you feel it here, then it's gonna be. What a dunk. If what you feel is true, you really feel it, you make them feel it too. Write this down now, you gotta be sincere, honestly sincere. I mean, you gotta be sincere. If you're really sincere, if you're really sincere, if you feel it in here, then it's gotta be right on. It's not much of a...
Yeah. Oh, that's my cue, right?
Yeah, you did good. It's not much of a song, is it?
No, but it must have been really, really fun to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the scene in the movie where all the, you know, where all the girls faint, and then the mayor's wife faints. It's funny. It's funny to me.
But you know, Marshall, I was really surprised because it's considered such a girls' film.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
See, I never knew that.
Well, I guess it's lucky you didn't. Might have changed your perception of it. One of your favorite rock and roll movies is called The Girl Can't Help It. Why is that one of your favorites?
Well, it's for me, it's just something that absolutely works and is really basically perfect. It's loaded with really great rock and roll, like Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps and Little Richard and a lot of major studio 50s rock and roll movies have this really sort of condescending feel about them, you know, and they're loaded with a lot of preachy sermonizing about, you know, whether rock and roll is immoral or not, you know, all this ridiculous stuff. And The Girl Can't Help It doesn't have any of that stuff. It just kind of presents the artists, and then along with it, you get this really cool humor, you know. I just think that's a really good rock and roll movie, especially for a 50s major studio rock and roll movie.
Well, you've brought with you some music and some film excerpts of Hollywood rock and roll movies, and maybe we can run through some of those excerpts and see what you've brought.
That's a good idea.
My guest is singer-songwriter, guitarist Marshall Crenshaw, and he wrote and edited a new book called Hollywood Rock, A Guide to Rock and Roll in the Movies. What are we going to start with?
Well, this first thing is, it's a song by a group called Freddie Bell and the Bellboys. And, you know, these guys never had any hit records or anything, but they're kind of famous because they appear in Rock Around the Clock, which was the first rock and roll exploitation picture. And this is a thing called We're Gonna Teach You to Rock.
Hello, everybody. I mean everybody. We're gonna teach you to rock. Yeah, we're gonna teach you to rock. We're gonna teach you to rock. Yes, come on and rock with us. We're gonna teach you to rock. Yeah, we're gonna teach you to rock. Yeah, we're gonna teach you to rock. Yeah, come on and rock with us. If you can't swing it out of the way, we don't want no squares.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like any sentence I say after a song like that should include the word daddy-o.
Yeah, I know. I can't place those guys' accents, but they seem to have a kind of a R problem, you know? Like the way they say, rock, 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 or I'll blow your brains out. You know, I like those guys, and they're really like a quintessential movie rock band because, you know, I mean, like I said before, they never had any hit records, and they probably would have been just sort of forgotten, except they managed to wind up in this movie. So, you know, you get to see them on TV every now and then.
The next movie we're going to hear an excerpt from Marshall Crenshaw's collection is Rock, Rock, Rock. This is an Alan Freed movie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Alan Freed. This, I think, is the last of the three Alan Freed movies. And I guess if you want to see an Alan Freed movie, I'd recommend this one because it's got the best music in it. And but it's also got a couple of I describe this as a treat for lovers of the truly inane. This is a song by a young girl called Ivy Shulman. She's 4 years old. And I have a 78 of this, and I've actually used this record to drive people from my home, you know, if it was getting late and I wanted to go to bed. You know, I play this record and it clears people right out.
Well, let's see what it does to our listenership.
I'm so glad we're going to play this on the radio.
Hi, baby.
Hello.
Were you waiting long?
Just a few minutes.
Ready to go?
I am, but this one.
Don't you want to go to the movie?
No.
You want a little doll?
No.
Don't you want a storybook?
No.
You want black?
No. Well, then what do you want?
I know what she wants.
Don't want a dolly, a storybook of black. Baby's only happy. Oh, and she rocks.
I'm surprised you have any friends left if you play that a lot.
I know. It's pure torture, isn't it?
Well, Marshall Crenshaw, I don't think we can continue this interview about rock and roll movies without talking about your role in rock and roll movies. In the film La Bamba, the Ritchie Valens story.
Yeah.
You played Buddy Holly.
That's right, I did.
So, what did you do to become Buddy Holly?
What did I do? Well, they gave me a Stratocaster. I had my own Stratocaster, but I had to use theirs. They gave me some big glasses, which they let me keep. And then they put me in a little suit. You know, I don't know what did I do to become Buddy Holly. I didn't really. I just kind of, you know, sort of did it as myself.
So what song did you do in the film?
One called "Crying, Waiting, Hoping." And I discovered when I saw the movie that I didn't realize that I had really small hands, but I guess I do. You know, I kind of was like looking at myself up there, kind of going, oh, God, I have such small hands. Anyway.
Would you play a few bars of it for us?
Yeah. Crying, waiting, hoping you come back. I just can't seem to get you off my mind. Crying, waiting, hoping you'll come back. You're the one I love, and I think about you all the time. Crying, do-do-do. My tears keep falling all night long, waiting, do, do, do. It seems so useless, I know it's wrong to keep crying, waiting, hoping that you'll come back. Maybe someday soon things will change and you'll be mine. Crying, waiting, hoping, yeah.
That sounds great.
Why, thank you. You know, the funny thing about that, the usage of that song in the movie is that, you know, I think when Buddy Holly died, he had never recorded that song, you know, and really wasn't very likely to have played it on stage. But
so why did you do it?
Well, when I went to the session to do, you know, some Buddy Holly songs, and... you know, we were just trying to come up with an arrangement for it in the studio, and to me, it was just kind of a throwaway. I didn't think that they would pick that one, because we also did That'll Be the Day, and we did Well, All Right. You know, I figured that they picked That'll Be the Day. In fact, in the script, it said that the song was going to be That'll Be the Day, you know? So we did this version of Crying, Waiting, Hoping with kind of like pounding tom-toms in the beginning, and, you know, sort of a more of a 80s kind of a groove to it. And sure enough, that was the one that the filmmakers liked.
Marshall, can you recommend a couple of your favorite rock and roll movies that are on video for our listeners who might want to rent some stuff?
Yeah, I'll do that. You know, and I want to stress again that, you know, a lot of our book is just opinion, and you can sort of take that for whatever it's worth. But in my opinion, you can hardly go wrong with Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. That's really a lot of fun. I like the music. It's just really this wacky comedy that is better seen than described by me. Check it out. I also like this one called Wild Guitar from 1962. And it stars this fellow by the name of Arch Hall Jr. And it also stars his father, Arch Hall Sr., although Arch Sr. appears under the alias William Waters. But the cool thing about those two is that, you know, I think Arch Hall Sr. kind of pushed Arch Hall Jr. into show business, you know? And in the movie, the father plays the son's manager, you know? So there's this kind of funny tension between them. And also, Arch Hall Jr. has really nice hair, too. He has this, like, massive block of blonde hair. So anyway, check that out. And then my other favorite that I always mention is the Tammy Show, which is a concert film from 1964. Just a really straight-ahead concert film, you know? And this is from a time before rock and roll was self-conscious in any way. You know, it's just really kind of really great music. You know, the Rolling Stones are in it just before they broke big. James Brown is in it. Most people have seen that clip of James Brown where he, you know, falls on his knees and has the capes and everything like that. Marvin Gaye is in the movie. The Barbarians with their one-handed drummer, Multi. So, yeah, my three favorites are The Tammy Show, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, and Wild Guitar.
Well, Marshall Crenshaw, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you very much for hosting me. It's nice to be here.
And thanks for playing for us. I really enjoyed your singing and playing. Thanks a lot.
Great.
Marshall Crenshaw edited the new book, Hollywood Rock, A Guide to Rock and Roll in the Movies. This is Fresh Air.